Welcome to Torah Timecha, Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Shaiwitz, and I'm excited to begin studying Sefer Shoftim with you. When we begin reading Sefer Shoftim, the book of Shoftim, we learn that many of our assumptions from Sefer Yoshua have been turned on their heads. Sefer Shoftim continues the story of Sefer Yoshua. Yoshua ends with the death of Yoshua, and Sefer Shoftim picks up in the immediate aftermath. But right away we see that this is an entirely different Sefer. It's a sequel, but that opens up a broader view so that we can see what's really going on. And I would say that the Navi deliberately, in Perek Aleph, which is what we will study today, sets up a very strong contrast with Sefer Yoshua. So let's start by comparing the first few psukim in Sefer Yoshua with the first few psukim of Sefer Shoftim. So Yoshua begins, Vayhi acharei mot Moshe eved Hashem, and it was after the death of Moshe, who was the servant of God, Vayomer Hashem al Yoshua ben Nun misharet Moshe lemor. So Hashem turns to Yoshua ben Nun, who was the servant of Moshe, and he says to him, Moshe abdi meit, Moshe my servant has died, ata kum avor tayarden azeh, ata v'chol ha'am azeh, el ha'aretz asher anochi noten lahem livnei Yisrael. Get up, cross the Yarden, you, this nation, and you're going to go into the land of Israel that I'm giving to Bnei Israel. And Hashem continues to say, everywhere that you step, everything will go to you. I'm giving it all to you, just like I promised to Moshe. Now, I think the emphasis here, so immediately we pick up right away with our story. Moshe has died. Yoshua, who was the natural leader, he was the Misharet Moshe. He was the one who was always at Moshe's side and his assistant. And the Midrash tells many beautiful stories of the ways that Yoshua would serve Moshe. But even in the Psukim, we learn about Yoshua being at Moshe's side. We learn about public ceremonies where in his lifetime, Moshe passes over the leadership to Yoshua. So it makes a lot of sense that as soon as Moshe died and the next step is entering into Israel, it's very clear that Yoshua will be the leader who will help Bnei Israel actualize this. And Yoshua also, you can see from here, is a military leader and a religious leader. He's the one who's going to lead them into Israel. He will lead them in battle, but he's also a religious leader. He's the one who Hashem speaks to. He's a Navi, and then he needs to turn to Bnei Israel and give them the message. So there's a clear leadership plan. There's a clear succession post-Moshe, and Yoshua acts as all of those pieces. He's the military leader. He's the inspiring religious leader. He speaks to Hashem. We feel confident that Bnei Israel are off to the right path. Shoftim begins in a totally different way. Pasuk Aleph, Vayhi acharei mot Yoshua, and it was after the death of Yoshua. V'yishalu Bnei Israel b'Hashem lemur, mi ya'aleh lanu el ha'Kanani b'tchila lehilachem bo? So after Yoshua dies, they turn to Hashem and they say, who will lead us to fight the Kananim? First, the Canaanites who are living in the land. Vayomer Hashem, Hashem responds, Yehuda Ya'ale, Yehuda will go up. Hine natati et ha'aretz biyado. I'm going to give the land over to his hands. Vayomer Yehuda, l'Shimon achiv. So Yehuda now turns to his brother Shimon, and he says to him, Alei iti bagorali, you come join with me into my section, my goral, like the plot of land that I'm meant to live in, v'nilchama b'knani, and we'll fight together against the Canaanites that are there, and then halachti gamani itcha b'goralecha, and then I'll go help you. You know, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. You come with me, and then I'll come with you. And then the Navi tells us, v'yilech ito Shimon. Shimon went with him. The beginning is so startling, and for a number of reasons. Firstly, there's no plan for succession, right? When Moshe died, it was clear that Yoshua was going to be the one to take over. They could have figured that out anyway. It was very blatant in Moshe's lifetime. Hashem gave clear nevuot. Moshe himself told the people numerous times. But as soon as Moshe dies, once again, Hashem reiterates, Yoshua will take over and I will be with him just as I was with Moshe, and we will carry out that plan. All of a sudden, after Yoshua dies, there's no direct message. There's no direct leader. So Bnei Yisrael turned to Hashem and they said, who's going to lead us in war? We have no idea what the next step is. But the no succession plan is not the only issue that comes up here. There's other issues as well. I would say that the second issue here is that we can already see that there's no unity. When Hashem responds, Hashem says Yehuda should go first. And it sounds, when we first read that pasuk, when Hashem said Yehuda Ya'aleh, Yehuda should be the first one, we kind of assumed it would be just like we thought in Sefer Yoshua. Yehuda would go first and the others would follow. But what ends up happening is that each tribe fights on their own. Shimon joins only because Yehuda offers him a deal. If you help me fight, then I'll help you fight. So we see right away that each tribe is working separately towards their own interests. And as we continue reading, we encounter another issue as well, which is that Yoshua tells a glorious story of conquest, capture, division of the land. All the holes are filled in, just like Hashem promised in that first pasuk that we read together. But once we get to Shoftim, and we hear about the successful conquest of Jerusalem, Hebron, and Tzfat at the beginning of the parak by Yehuda, among a few other cities, but then the refrain, the repeating words, the milim manchot of the rest of the parak are the words, lo horishu. These are the lands or the pockets that were actually not taken over, not inherited, not conquered by the Jews. A few examples. Veloho in Chav Zion, if we start with 27 and we read down, we have a whole list. Yehuda first has pockets that he also doesn't inherit, but then we continue, Veloho Rish Menashe at Beit Shan, etc. Menashe didn't inherit, didn't take over his portion, parts of his portion. And then continues Ephraim in Chafchet 28. Ephraim lo horishet haKnani hayoshev beGezer. Right? Ephraim also didn't conquer the Knani who lived in Gezer. And then Vayeshev haKnani beKirbo beGezer. The Canaanites lived right in his Nachala in Gezer. Zvulun lo horish et Yoshvei Kitron. Zvulun also was not, didn't conquer the Canaanites that were in his midst. And they lived among him as well. Vayeshev Knani bekirbo v'yulamas. They lived among him, and he put them a mas, like a tax on them. And it continues. Asher lo horish et Yoshvei Akko v'yoshvei Tzidon. Naphtali lo horish et Yoshvei Beit Shemesh. And we keep on reading of all the pockets and the holes in the conquest. So what happened here? Right? Well, Yoshua told a story of strong leadership, strong and united conquest, and the feeling of a complete conquest. Shoftim tells a story of a dearth of leadership, an incomplete conquest, and a fractured Jewish nation. Now, this central question of this Sefer is going to be one of leadership. What is a sustainable system that can unite the people and help them realize their goals? Our goals, both in terms of military and conquest, but also, and politically, but also our goals as the Am Kadosh, a nation that is separate, a nation that is worshiping Hashem. How do we centralize and create a leadership that is going to speak towards these goals? And it makes sense that this is going to be the central question of this Sefer, since Chazal say that it was written by Shmuel. And Shmuel HaNavi was the leader who really saw the disintegration of the Shoftim system, the system of the judges, and Shmuel was the one who anointed the first king. So the theme of our book will be of leadership, and we will continue to develop this theme over our entire course of study. Thank you for studying together, Le'iloi Nishmat, Frida Bat Moshe Eliyahu.